the person at the back, then I think we'll move on.
Thank you. John Blake, I'm a history teacher in Camden. I just wanted to push Chris on the point that he made earlier about the idea of frameworks versus content being decided in schools, because it seems to me that's a neat distinction and everyone's sort of nodded along with it. But how do you actually make that work? What does that mean? What constitutes a framework? Where does that line fall? Is it a framework to say that you have to teach empathy? Is it a framework to say you have to have some sort of modern British history in it? Where does that line fall? And then once you have drawn it, if we have to replace the QCD over something else, once that's drawn, how do you then defend that? How can we keep that in place for long enough so if we do review the curriculum, we have faith that it will at least be reviewed in those terms?
One of the serious difficulties of speaking to audiences of history teachers is that it's full of intelligent people who ask questions. I was listening to a presentation the other day and somebody asked a question and the response was, just before we go on, that's a good question. The criteria for a good question is it's a question that I've already thought of the answer to. The criterion for an excellent question is that the answer's on the next PowerPoint slide. That's a very good question because I haven't quite thought of the answer to it. We've had a variety, there are a variety of different possible frameworks for the teaching and learning of history. Before we had the national curriculum, there were at least two that I was aware of in my time that came out of HMI that provoked questions that did not dictate detailed content. But you're absolutely right that the boundary between a framework and a detailed specification is a very imperfect one. Because I can't answer the question, I'll just, as we say in higher education, problematise it for you. The first thing to say is that anybody outside the classroom who attempts to dictate in detail what you are going to do will fail. And those of you who remember the 1991 national curriculum will remember very detailed lists of content that were meant to define what you taught and, generally speaking, did not, because ultimately teachers determine what is taught in the classroom and how it is taught. So politicians or anybody else who attempts to dictate in detail will fail. Understanding what a framework is and how a framework works seems to me to be a piece of creative work for politicians and their advisors to enter into. But the relationship between framework and content, I agree, is a pretty difficult one.
Anne, you wanted a brief word.
Yes, it's just to lament from the academic point of view the QCDA's demise. There are very few ways in which academics can get involved in this, but the beauty of that organisation was that the Royal Historical Society, the HA, the History UK, which is a representative body of all departments in the UK, actually had membership of it. And I think, whilst I don't want loads of academics, I certainly don't want Neil Ferguson, because I don't think he speaks for academics in this country either. Clearly, an academic input into these debates, I think, is a useful one. I'm also reminded that the Historical Association has tried to fill the gap a little bit in this. We hope that everybody here is using the website for the CPD materials there. But I wanted to add a sort of footnote, really, about the curricula. I think I'm getting worried in the light of the questions about history as elitist in the development of other syllabuses like the IB syllabus, the pre-U syllabus, the IGCSE. And I wondered what people felt about those, because certainly from the university's perception of this, they're sort of a developing two-tier, almost like GCE and CSE, in the sorts of things that people are coming into university with. And some of the things in these, the IB and the pre-U, are very much the sorts of things that Gove seems to be saying, this sort of long durée. They're almost like the A-level that I took in history, which indeed was on George III. Probably that's why I became a medievalist as soon as possible. But I wondered what history teachers in the audience had to say about this developing kind of tiering of types of exams and curricula.
Anyone? Anybody got views on that? I'm anxious to move on, but if anyone has views on this which are brief...
waving or drowning.
Yes. One moment.
I think it really goes to the heart of a tension that's been in the English education system for years, and that is education about education, about surprising people about the world, about bringing them on and showing them new things that they never would have seen in their normal everyday lives? Or is it about sorting them into boxes? Is it about finding types of students and saying, well, you're not the type of student that would really benefit from GCSE, so we'll make you do a BTEC? And I think that there is a class base to this, and it is something which we need to guard against as history teachers. Sorry to make you look at your watch there, Lord Baker.